privilege to read further from Scripture, and this morning we'll read from both Old and New Testament. First from Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Leviticus 13 and 14, just a few verses. And then we go to Luke and Mark. But look at Leviticus 13. These two chapters have a lot to do with leprosy. And the passage in Luke this morning is in connection with the man healed of his leprosy. But look at what it says in Leviticus 13:46, where we read, "All the days wherein the plague of leprosy, that is, shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without or outside the camp shall his habitation be." And then chapter 14. 1-7. "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." And the rest of the chapter tells of more rituals and sacrifices to be made, to be cleansed. Now let's go to Luke. Luke 5, 12-15, and then we'll look at the same passage in Mark chapter 1. Luke 5, verse 12-15. Here we are. Here we can read. "And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, of Jesus, and a great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." And then we go to Mark 1, the parallel passage. The last part of the chapter, verse 40-45. Here we read, "And there came a leper to him, to Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he strenuously charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith to him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." So the theme of the sermon is the good news with Jesus and his help for the leper. Your congregation belonging to Christ, sometimes you hear stories that just make you stop in your tracks. Like, for instance, I heard the news story this week about a mother who came to the burning house of her home and experienced her 4 children all burned to death. Can you imagine? It stops you in your tracks when you read something like that. But that's a sad story, but sometimes a good story also stops you in your tracks when, for instance, someone has been diagnosed with cancer and then he gets some surgery and apparently all the cancer cells are removed and there's reason for thanksgiving. And you thank the Lord for such a story. The Bible is full of wonderful stories. And there are stories that are from long ago but have so much meaning and power still today because they're gospel stories. Stories from God for us to teach us, to guide us, to bless us in His ways. And we get to study one of these stories this morning, continuing in our series on the Gospel of Luke. That's found in Luke 5, 12 to 16. It's the story that's also found in Matthew 8 and in Mark 1. It's the good news with Jesus and His help for a leper. And this morning's theme is exactly that. The story about the good news with Jesus and His help for a leper. And we have 3 points, namely how this story is absolutely rich, relevant, and responsible gospel tidings for us still today. You know, in going through the Gospel of Luke in our series, I wrestle with how much should I group passages together. First I thought, well, we should have one sermon on at least 2 miracles in this chapter, but I couldn't divide that this way. This miracle of the leper is so significant and telling by itself, so a separate sermon on it. Notice how Luke begins with the story, bringing out its importance. He says, "Behold." That's a special word of special notice, that something amazing is happening. And it came to pass when He, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold. Matthew also gives this behold, saying with that, here's something you have to see and notice what's happened. Interestingly, we are not told in what city this miracle happened. We do know it was likely in the area of Galilee, where Jesus was ministering. The important matter is not where it happened, but what happened in this event. That's what's important. And are you listening now? What did happen? What happened? While Jesus was walking in a certain city, we're told there comes this man toward Jesus. A man only Luke, the doctor, describes as full of leprosy. You could say he was covered with leprosy. Someone very obviously, just from seeing him, and perhaps even smelling him, would know he was a seriously sick man. You could say, with this leper being full of leprosy, he was quite likely grotesquely sick. Grotesquely sick. Even deathly sick. To explain this here, we have to say something about the disease of leprosy. While it's not the easiest exactly to identify or describe this sickness, especially from those times long ago, yet we know, don't we, even from the Old Testament times, leprosy was an awful, horrible disease. The Bible tells us the story of Miriam, Moses' sister, plagued with leprosy in punishment by God for her and Aaron rebelling against Moses' leadership as appointed by God. And we read then in Numbers 12, verse 11 to 12, about Aaron pleading for his sister Miriam, saying to Moses, "Alas, my Lord or Master, I beseech you, lay not the sin upon us where we have dealt foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Describing, in other words, leprosy like the body of a stillborn dead baby brought forth. You may remember too the story of Naaman, the Syrian captain who had everything going for him, but he had leprosy. That dreadful disease which was cutting off all future hopes and dreams for his life. The Bible tells us too about King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, who sinfully and arrogantly wanted to take over responsibilities only given to the priests. And when he rebelled in this way, we read, behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from there. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. We know too, Gehazi, when he lied to prophet Elisha about his covetous taking of some of Naaman's treasures, then he was struck with leprosy. And we read in 2 Kings 5:27, and he, Gehazi, went out from Elisha's presence, a leper as white as snow. Earlier too, when God called Moses to become leader of the Israelites and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, as we are told in Exodus 4 verse 6, one of the signs God gave Moses to show Pharaoh about his God-given authority as ruler over the Israelites, one of the signs was God told him to put his hand in his coat and to bring it out. And we're told it was leprous as snow. Then he put it in again, and behold, it was again as his other flesh, made whole. In other words, and God brings out that this second fearful sign for Pharaoh would be even more fearful than the one of Moses dropping his rod and it becoming a wild serpent. Something about which we read Moses himself ran away from. But a leprous hand was even more fearful, you see. Then we have the story about those four lepers who were dying outside the city walls because it was wartime and there was no food being thrown over the wall for them outside the city walls, because inside the city there was total famine. And then we're told these four lepers, they said to themselves, you know what, let's just risk our lives and see if we can raid the Syrian tents. It makes no difference, we're dying anyways. So let's just do what we can. It all brings out, you see, congregation, leprosy in Bible times, especially, was the most dreadful disease. It was a disease that infected and affected the whole body too. It was a sickness affecting the skin, but often it was way more than just skin deep. Sometimes something extra horrible about the sickness too was often it struck the nerve system and numbed the pain cells in the body, making the disease painless. But as a result, also much more dangerous. Painless diseases have been said to be the most dangerous diseases. A person with leprosy, because he didn't have any pain, could have his hand on a hot piece of metal and not know it was burning. His hand was burning to the bone because he didn't feel it. And a person with leprosy with no feelings could have a rat chew off his finger during the night and not know it was missing till the morning. And this explains too, doesn't it, how lepers often looked awful and repulsive with its dismal, ugly effects on their face. And all over. In Bible times, leprosy was considered a worst thing possible besides death itself. It was a disease which had disfiguring, debilitating, deadening effect and was often indescribably repulsive. What further made this disease so dreadful was the shame and the isolation that came with it. In Leviticus 13, as we read, the Israelites were taught those with leprosy had to live separated and removed from the rest of society. If and when they could come into contact with others, they would have to have their mouths covered. Like sometimes we wear a white mask or a mask of sorts. They would have to have their mouths covered. And when approaching others, they would have to cry out about themselves, unclean, unclean. I read that the Jewish Talmud book, which is a mammoth commentary of the Jewish rabbis on the Old Testament laws and theology, quote, they forbade a Jew to come closer than 6 feet to a leper. And if the wind was blowing, the limit was 150 feet. A commentary I have remarked also about how one ancient rabbi stated, quote, when I see a leper, I throw stones at him, lest he comes near me. And another said, I will not so much as eat an egg that was purchased on a street where a leper has walked. So you get the idea, don't you? The idea of the horror of leprosy and the sad isolation and awful social stigma and shame that came with this sickness. To make any fair comparison, we might say today, it was like having AIDS and Ebola and pancreatic cancer and measles and ALS all combined. J.C. Ryle states in summary about leprosy in Bible times, quote, it is or was a radical disease of the whole person. It attacks not merely the skin, but the blood, the flesh, the bones, until the unhappy patient begins to lose his extremities and to rot by inches. End of quote. Mostly, congregation, there was little hope of any recovery from leprosy, and it was by and large considered and often experienced as a long, loathsome. On top of that all, if you had leprosy, being unclean, you also could not worship in the temple. Wouldn't that have been one of the most dreadful and sad consequences of this disease for any devoted Israelite? He was kept out of the fellowship, kept out of the camp, kept out of the tabernacle. Well, now consider the absolutely rich, relevant, responsible guiding gospel tidings when a certain leper, seeing Jesus, came and called to him, as our text is about telling us. This leper, we're told, saw Jesus, and seeing him, he came to Jesus, falling on his knees in worshipful respect before him. Yes, falling on his face even. And he did so, crying out to him and begging the Lord Jesus, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. This leper must have heard something about Jesus before, don't you think? He had learned, likely, at least, Jesus could do miracles. And what was humanly impossible was something he could do and would do for others. This leper also must have known something about Jesus showing care for the needy and the sick and the troubled. This leper seemed to understand, too, that Jesus was making himself known as some teacher from God with authority. We don't know what he all knew, but clearly, considering how this leper came to Jesus with respect and in a worshipful way even, how this leper saw some hope, maybe, some expectation perhaps of help for him. He had heard enough, this leper had, that he came to Jesus calling, Lord, even as Luke informs us, and believing without hesitation his power to help him. He wasn't sure about Jesus' willingness to help, but he was sure Jesus could help. Should we not be struck, especially too, with his cry being more than, Lord, if you will, you can make me healthy again. You can make me better. Rather, it's this, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, of course, the two were very associated, but he wanted to be clean. He had to be made clean. He was looking for a clean bill of health. Yes, also ever to be able to enter into the temple courts again. Was this perhaps the man's greatest burden? Even greater than that of desiring healing from his dreadful disease of leprosy? Isn't it the reality that more important than being miraculously healed of a bodily disease for a season, it is to be cleansed and renewed of our spiritual disease of sin for now and forevermore? But both are intimately linked here together in this story of this leper. With this leper, we see that he goes to Jesus for help. And it's the response of Jesus here that is so significant and so telling and encouraging. What did Jesus do? Children, what did Jesus do when the leper came to him? Did he run away from that man like Moses ran away from the serpent? No. Did Jesus yell at that man, get away from me? And condemn him for not shouting, unclean, unclean, even as he came near to Jesus? Did Jesus back off from that leper, saying, you must be quite the sinful person full of bad deeds, that you are so struck with this dreadful disease full of leprosy. Go back to your leper's camp and wait there till you die. And don't look to me to heal you of your sicknesses and to make you someone full of leprosy whole again. If you were just a little leprous, maybe I could help you. But not full of leprosy. Away with you. No, Jesus didn't say that, did he? Did Jesus shrug off the man, maybe? In his misery, saying, look, I'm a doctor for spiritual and eternal matters and not for physical and earthly matters. Go away, you wretch. No, none of that. Rather, what did Jesus say and do, dear congregation? Don't let the familiarity of it make you lose the riches of it. We are told right away, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, saying to him, I will, be thou clean. This is so wonderfully, wonderful, truly, how Jesus shows himself here. The leper had no doubt about Jesus' ability and power to heal him, quite likely from having heard about Jesus' other miracles done. But this leper struggled with, would Jesus be willing even to help him? Full of leprosy. But Jesus shows himself, doesn't he, here, as being both most able and most willing to help this poor man out of all his misery. From Mark's account, we learn as Jesus touched the leper and spoke to him, he was also moved with compassion, it says there in Mark's account. Jesus' innards, we're told, were stirred in care and burden for this leper in his miserable state. And you know, the emphasis in the text is on the active verb action of Jesus touching this leper. All the other actions, they're participles in view of that main verb. The being moved with compassion and the stretching his hand and speaking to the leper all happened along with the main action of touching the leper. You can be sure, congregation, this leper was hardly ever touched by anyone. Being a repulsive looking unclean person under Mosaic law. Never mind, maybe even perhaps contagious or thought to be so in that time. If a repulsive leper was touched or hugged, it was always only by other repulsive lepers. From Leviticus 5:2, we learn you became unclean yourself if you touched anyone or anything considered unclean. And surely by touching a leper, you would only harm yourself and not bring any help to the leper whatsoever. But not so with Jesus, you see. Not so with Jesus. This is the gospel. Jesus is the great physician. And he can make clean what is unclean. He can touch the unclean and not become unclean himself. He could heal this leper also with just a word spoken by himself. But he went the extra mile and he touched him. An extra gesture to show his tender care and help for this man. We need to think here of how Jesus, as God, come to this earth. In the person of Jesus Christ, he is God incarnate, the Holy One. And he comes into this unholy, corrupt world to reach out to poor, helpless people as this leper, full of leprosy. And the absolutely rich and relevant gospel is that with this Jesus, as told in our text passage and as told in all the Bible, we learn in him and with him we have a Savior. Who cares for sinners? Who cares for the hopeless and helpless in this fallen, sinful world? He is not uncaring about us, dear congregation. Not about you either. Or me. In our needs. Also our physical needs. Some of you have great physical needs. You may bring them to the Lord and cry to him. And I know you do. Keep doing so. The Lord is caring for us in our needs. In every way. Especially also spiritually, as we shall see in a moment. We are told Jesus touched this leper. And as he touched him, Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And then what happened? Well, in all three gospel accounts we're told immediately. That is instantly. The leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. There was no question of both Jesus' willingness and ability, you see, to help this man and to help him both at once and completely so that he was restored to clean health. What a miracle of power and grace and love this was. As one put it, quote, "The scene on this occasion must have been startling. To see a deformed, shriveled, and scaly, sore-covered derelict suddenly stand upright with perfect arms and legs, with his face smooth and unscarred, his hair restored, his voice normal, and his eyes bright. What a turnaround! The marvels of modern medicine pale beside such miraculous restoration as our text tells us about." Indeed. And isn't it right to ask here, shouldn't this little story, so powerful, attract us and draw us, each one here, to this Jesus for His mercy and for His help, for His hand of touch also in our lives, yours and mine? Are you drawn to this Jesus from our text, even while under the preaching now of this passage, telling the good news of Jesus and His help for the leper? It could be, even as I ask the question, you are saying to yourself, well, maybe, but really, how does this story even relate to me and to us today, Pastor? Honestly speaking, you say to yourself, as you hear this all, well, it's a nice story, but so what? How does this relate today to us? Leprosy today is hardly a disease spoken of anymore, and it's apparently much more treatable and preventable in our times. But you see here, under our second main point, let us learn how relevant this story is, really. And here we need to remember, don't we, how all the miracle stories done by Jesus are not so much about the miracle itself as so much about giving the message of Jesus, the Savior of sinners, coming to this world to show mercy and help for the needy and the hopeless and the helpless. Very clearly in this case, when healing this leper, we are to see it a picture and proclamation and invitation of who Jesus is as promised Messiah and Savior God, as Savior of sinners, come to seek and to save the lost, come to save sinners like us, you and me too, of ourselves. And here, thinking of this miracle involving this leper, it's so instructive, isn't it, to realize that the disease of leprosy in the Bible, as told in the Bible, is in many ways meant to be a parallel and a description of our spiritual sickness unto death with our sins and sinfulness by nature ever since we fell into sin with Adam and Eve's fall in the Garden of Eden. With that fall into sin, isn't it true? We are all born into this world, each one of us, with this spiritual leprosy, this malady of sin infecting us and affecting us in the way of corruption and evil through and through. There is not a part of any one of us, outwardly and inwardly, that is not negatively infected and impacted by sin. The doctrine of total depravity means we are full of leprosy spiritually. We are all lepers spiritually in the sight of God on our own. There is with us this most loathsome disease. The Bible teaches us. Read, for instance, between church, Psalm 38. And it's not like a sickness which we cannot help, but it's a shameful sickness and full of vile offensiveness and hopeless misery which we have brought upon ourselves. And which makes us forever guilty before God and unacceptable to Him on our own. All we can be on our own is castaways from Him forever. Our sin problem too, isn't it right to say, is forever incurable of ourselves by ourselves, no matter what we may think or try or do or spend to be delivered from it. Even our best works, the Bible says, are an unclean thing before God. So, let me say, we spent the time we did in this sermon emphasizing the misery of the leper. to bring out now so great and more actually is our misery as sinners in this world of ourselves. Are you realizing this and confessing this for yourself? Your spiritually leprous condition. And how except God in His mercy reach out to you too and touch you. There's no remedy or help or hope for you or for myself or anyone. When the Lord saves sinners, He leads the sinner by His Spirit and Word. Also through the story of a leper like this one in our text, He leads us to realize our need for divine deliverance that only God can and will provide. And our text story now so clearly and endearingly, so powerfully tells how the Lord is indeed both able and willing to save and to make whole and to cleanse immediately and forever all who come to Him. Are you today admitting with shame your sins and sinfulness and seeking to be forgiven of them all and looking out for a new heart that flees from sin and follows after righteousness? Are you sick and tired of living in the way of evil and isolated from God and what is good and right and true? And are you praying and calling out to the Lord, "Oh God, help me too. Deliver me from all my sin and misery. God, if you will, you can make me clean. Even so, Lord, please be merciful to me, though I confess I'm undeserving of the least of your mercies." Our text passage calls to all sinners to come to Jesus, like the leper did in our text. No matter how full of leprosy you are, there's remedy with Jesus. Indeed, the full gospel message is, Jesus came from heaven into this sin-defiled world as the Holy One, taking on human flesh, living in this world, and He came, sinners, to save. The wonderfulness of Jesus is that He lived in this sinful world, and while He lived here, He took on the sins of His people. And even as He did so, He Himself remained perfectly pure and spotless, without any uncleanness all the time. Living in an unclean world, He remained clean, in perfect righteousness and spotless holiness. And at the same time, you know the whole message. He went to the cross to pay for the sins and defilement and corruption and evil of His people as sin bearer and as the one God approved Savior of sinners. And through Jesus Christ and His person and work and His once for all sacrifice on the cross, now this is the message. There is a fountain open for all sin and uncleanness for whoever comes to Jesus. Only Jesus is able to cleanse you and me from our spiritual leprosy, of our sins and sinfulness. And the gospel message is, He remains today, as He is described in our text, fully able and willing to save all who come to Him. There's so much compassion with Jesus and in His heart for sinners. We know of a certainty, no sinner who comes to Him for His cleansing, for His renewal, for to be made clean and whole will ever be pushed away or rejected by Him. As one put it, if you are lost, it's not because we cannot be saved. However corrupt our hearts and wicked our past lives, there's hope for us in the gospel. There is no case of spiritual leprosy too hard for Christ. Will you come this morning to Jesus for your salvation? Whether you're children, young people, older ones, will you come? Either for a first time or afresh. Isn't it the case that even for the most mature and long-standing believer in Christ, the story of the good news with Jesus and His help for the leper is ever so precious and relevant and inviting time and time again? The reality is that through the preaching this morning, God by His Spirit and Gospel Word is meeting with us. He's here in our midst. And He's reaching out with His nail-pierced hands to touch you and me too, with His hand of healing and forgiveness and renewal. Sinners to save. Will you today come to Jesus as this leper did in our text? I'm reminded here of a poem I heard once, way back, in a sermon with a minister preaching, and I later asked that minister for that poem. And when I received it, I found out it was actually written by John Newton. And now I'm not giving the whole poem now, just listen to the following stanza of that poem, showing Newton like the leper going to Jesus, as the poem expresses in petition to the Lord Jesus, "Physician of my sin-sick soul, to Thee I bring my case. My raging malady control, and heal me by Thy grace. It lies not in a single part, but through my frame is spread, a burning fever in my heart, a palsy in my head. It makes me deaf and dumb and blind and impotent and lame, and overclouds and fills my mind with folly, fear, and shame. Lord, I am sick. Regard my cry and set my spirit free. Say, canst thou let a sinner die who longs to live for thee?" Do you find yourself in these words too, beloved? The beautiful answer of our passage is, the Lord won't let a sinner so die or perish in endless misery. No, but with Him full and free, deliverance and healing and help is found for soul and body, not just once, but time and time again as we come to Him. What precious good news of great joy indeed. Don't you think so as well? You do when you know you're full of leprosy on your own. And it's never not true of you on your own. Or of me. But maybe, could be you're not interested. And even the words of this poem and our text passage still says nothing at all to you this morning. How many people refuse to hear the gospel simply because they will not consider, they refuse to consider their urgent need to repent of sin and to believe the gospel and to follow after Jesus. Like leprosy did, remember? It leaves them without a sense of trouble. Sin, as Thomas Watson put it, doesn't only leave us sick, but it leaves us senseless. And so today, there are people whom the world and this devil, the devil and our lusts, can be chewing our hearts out and nibbling at our hands and feet till we are wasted away and suddenly we perish forever. I couldn't help but notice this week the death of a 28-year-old music star, hopeless in himself. The death of a 45-year-old movie star, hopeless in himself. The death of a 35-year-old porn star, hopeless in herself. It's all hopeless in ourselves, congregation. You say with yourselves, you're going to die of your leprosy. Like the leper, you may feel no pain from sin. Those of you sometimes perhaps hurt with shame. If you continue to live still in the leper's camp of this fallen world without seeking the help and remedy as found in the gospel, you will die in and with your leprosy, your sin. But this sermon now, you see, also here is given to awaken us and to alarm us, isn't it? And to have us see from Scripture, yes, your need of cleansing and renewal, even if you don't feel it presently yourself. I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, on the basis of God's Word, spiritual leprosy, living in your sins and sinfulness, will kill you and destroy you and make you justly an eternal castaway in hell. Except you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would come to Jesus. He is calling for you right now, that you too might be healed and saved immediately even when ministered to by the Savior of sinners, able and willing to save all who come to Him. Don't think the Most Holy One won't be willing to touch you, even a sinner full of leprosy like you. No, His nail-pierced hands are willing to embrace any and all who come to Him for His mercy and grace. Well, notice with me yet briefly how the gospel tidings with Jesus and His help for this leper are not only such absolutely rich and relevant good news, but also responsible good news. Responsible. Here we consider the fact that when this man was healed, we are told Jesus instructed him to go to the priest and offer for the cleansing according as Moses commanded. And with this word of clear direction to the healed and cleansed leper, strongly directed to this person, the Lord Jesus makes clear how he was not a revolutionary who himself would not follow God's precepts in the Old Testament. No, Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. And so we see here Jesus honor the scriptures and the guidelines that the Mosaic law gave to be followed whenever a person who had been considered leprous was considered clean, that he or she could be declared as clean and cleared from that disease. There were many different forms of it, but the serious cases, as we brought out this morning, they often didn't have any healing at all. It's except very exceptional. It is striking here, we read in Leviticus 14, the process to get the official word of being cleansed and cleared by the priest. What did it involve? It involved two birds, one that would be killed, and a bird, another bird, that had its wings dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed. And that bird, the second bird, was then let go to fly away. And the picture suggests, doesn't it? No official cleansing and clearing apart from ultimately the bloody sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the cleansing and renewal which may be ours in and through Him, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. It's not incorrect here to think of those two birds. Something like is mentioned on the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, the ceremony of two goats. The one, you know, was sacrificed, and the other became a scapegoat and was let go into the wilderness, never to return. A picture of our sins being gone, 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 as Dr. Barrett mentioned also at the conference a week ago, through Jesus' blood. Gone! And now being possible for us to fly away in freedom by God's grace and mercy. But you know what's so important, congregation? That the wing of that bird that could fly away had to be dipped in the blood. If you and I will fly away in the way of grace and glory, we need not only to know that Jesus died, we need to have His blood applied to us. Then we can fly away in freedom and glory, applied to us by faith and repentance. And then in connection still with Leviticus 14, in regards to the cedar wood used in the ceremony by the priest when declaring a leper cleansed, it is hard to understand its purpose, but maybe as suggested by some, cedar also had reddish tint, just reminding us of blood. But also, it could be it was intended to symbolize, since cedar is, you know, largely resistant to decay, the resistance now which may be ours, the resistance the leper's body would have towards future serious diseases, having once been healed by God's saving hand. Likewise, that piece of scarlet string is hard to explain, really, but apart from its color again, though some have said, and I think it makes a lot of sense, that string would be used to bundle together the hyssop plant, which would be like a bundle, which would be like a paintbrush, from which they would sprinkle the blood 7 times upon the cleansed and cleared leper. Coming under the blood, you see. And the whole point of that all is, congregation, to say, Jesus here is saying, go to the priest and get the proper cleansing, clearing. Jesus was making clear, you see, how the Old Testament scriptures was not something only He honored and respected Himself, but also how they all testified of Him and pointed to Him, the one and only Savior of sinners. And if the priests and Jewish leaders would now continue to reject Jesus in spite of His healing also this leper, they were speaking and acting against their own scriptures as well as against the Savior Himself. Jesus was responsible towards this leper, telling him he should follow due process after his miraculous healing. Some have suggested if the report of the healing of the leper by Jesus would have reached the priests before he himself came to them, they might have, in their hostility and bias against Jesus, even refused to consider this man's case. So Jesus was being wise and pastoral. Go, get the proper clearing. The sad part of the whole story is, isn't it, that this healed leper apparently did not listen well to Jesus' instruction. Especially not to tell others about his miraculous healing. Instead, this man, in unwise and misguided zeal, he spread the news far and wide. And the result was, Jesus' public ministry was hindered. Because of people coming to him out of wrong motives, wanting him as their Messiah here on earth and their healer for their external needs, and not listening to him as he come especially to seek and to save sinners. All his miracles were to underline and underscore his role as Redeemer from sin, who would lay down his life, sinners to save. And we can learn from this man's failing to do as Jesus said, how wrong we can be, even when we think we may be doing good, if we won't submit to God's word. I think it's very good what Ferguson says here. He said, this man was the epitome of the person who comes to Jesus for salvation, but then refuses to submit to Jesus because he believes he really knows best how to live his own life. How many people are like that? They say, Jesus is my Savior, but they won't have him as their Lord. And they live as they want, and they refuse to listen to him. This is true all too often, sadly, in regards to how we worship, how we live, how we evangelize. But if we will truly be the Lord's, we need to listen to his word, also in how we live. The mark of true faith and faithfulness is always humble submission to God's word and will. When Luke tells us in verse 16 of our text passage how Jesus withdrew from the growing crowds and the carnal enthusiasm towards him, also because of the healed leper's failing to do as Jesus instructed him, don't we see in Jesus here the Lord's long suffering towards sinners like us? Don't we see Jesus too go to the Father for replenished strength and energy and resolve to finish the work God gave him to do, no matter what the people would say and do around him? The whole story also of this cleansed leper's failure to obey Jesus' instruction magnifies, doesn't it, the mercy of Jesus, all that more triumphantly for this man full of leprosy on his own. What a Savior we have. Thanks be to God. Well, I began this sermon with saying how some news stories have us just stop in our tracks to listen and respond. What about this good news story from the Bible? Told not once, just or twice only, but three times. This good news story about Jesus and his help for the leper. Do you agree with me? And rely really with God triune, actually, it's absolutely rich, relevant, responsible gospel tidings. And will you say thanks with heart and lips sincere? You know, the Bible tells us about 10 lepers once healed by Jesus, and only once came back. One came back to say thanks. Let's not be like that. Let's say thanks and thanks a million times over and over, dear Lord, for being such a Savior with so great salvation, even for a sin-sick, undeserving sinner like me. And Lord, while that man in this story sinned in that he told so many people when he should have been quiet, forgive me when too often I am quiet and I have liberty to tell all people. Lord, fill us more with your amazing love for people full of leprosy. Even so, bless this word and make it a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.